I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing.
Jesus, our God. Adore you. creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, how great is our God. Oh, Father, how great are you? You are greater than any problem I could ever have. You are greater than any disease that ever tried to attack me. You are greater than the devil who won't leave me alone. You are greater than anything in this world. That's how great you are. You are above all things. How great is our God? It is beyond measure the greatness of our God. And so, Father, we thank you. We rejoice in you. And we thank you, Father, that you took time. You looked down from heaven and you saw us in our need and you sent your Son. We just celebrated his sacrifice that he gave to us, Father, through the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. How great is our God! Then, Father, you didn't stop there. After he gave up his life, he went down into hell and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And on the third day, you raised him again. How great is our God! Father, you are beyond measure. And I just say thank you. I still get overwhelmed when I think about that love that you shed upon me. I don't know why you did, but thank you. I agree, I wasn't worthy, but thank you that Jesus was. Worthy is that Lamb. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, Father, thank you. I feel like I've already been in church, and I don't think anything I can do from here on out is going to even be in comparison to what you've already done with your Spirit moving here. The way you've already spoke to us, the way you've already touched people, the way that you've already saved people. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. But now, Father, as we get into your word, just quiet our hearts right now. Quiet our minds. Let us forget about everything else right now. Let us just focus on you and what you have to say to us this morning. And then, Father, when we hear it, let it sink deep into us today. And when we leave here, let us not just be hearers of the word, Father, but let us be doers of the word. And when we go out of here, man, what we want to be able to say is, man, wasn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? And Father, if we went home right now, I could say that already. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now you lead and guide. You open up our ears and you speak. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. And all the people said, amen. Anybody know what today is? All right, you guys get about a B on that one. Not quite an A or an A plus yet, but you're getting better. I say in about 3 or 4 more years, you guys should be okay. So we'll keep going until you get it right. Is that all right? Before we get into the message this morning, I do want to make an announcement. A longtime person who came to this congregation for a long time, Lila, she passed away on Friday. For those of you who did not know, she sat right over there behind Jeter or with Jeter. She had a stroke a week or so ago, was sent back home, was doing well, and I got a call from her son. It's Logan's grandmother, And she passed away and went home peacefully with the Lord on Friday. So remember the family, and if you see Logan, please give him your love, your prayers, and your condolences, okay? And with that, I want to get into today's message, okay? 2 weeks ago, I did something with gifts. And I want to go back and I want to hit it again because for the last 2 weeks, God's been dealing with me on giving this message on gifts. And I don't know if you can see it, but I still have tears running out my eyes up here this morning, okay? What you heard this morning, as Bill already explained, was one of the gifts that God gives us. The gift of prophecy is one of the gifts that God gives us. And then there is the gift of interpretation. And the gift of prophecy and the gift of interpretation is for the edifying and the building up of the body. And Paul said there are many gifts. There's the gifts of preaching. There's the gift of healing. There is the gift of prophecy. And of all these gifts, you know which one he says, I wish that you would desire for? Prophecy. And it's one of the ones that we don't hear in the church today as much. Because when you get prophesied to, it's for the building up and the edification of all of us. All of us got something from that this morning. That was a confirmation for me that the message I was about ready to give was the message he wanted me to give. Okay? That's the way God is. He's a great God. And he wants to speak to us. How does he speak to us? You know, sometimes when we're in prayer, he speaks to us in that small, still voice. But other times, there's that prophecy that comes and it just blows us away. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So if I could, I want to get into this real quick because I want to get us out of here on time today if possible. I've been away for 2 weeks. I don't know if anybody noticed, but I haven't been here for 2 weeks. Okay? I started growing a beard. I don't know if you saw that or not. I was in Florida, and I just got lazy and didn't shave, and my wife says, it makes you look younger. I said, a gray beard makes me look younger. I'm going to keep that thing, okay? Anything I can do to make me look younger, I'll keep right now, okay? I want to start with this, gifts part two, okay? Let's get right into the word if we can. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, I do whatever I can to get you to understand that you need to walk worthy of the vocation wherein with you were called. Okay, now I want everybody to say with me, I am called. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I am called. Each and every one of us is called. Did you know that? You have a calling on your life. Now, maybe you're like me, you got a calling on your life and you wanted to fight that call for a long time. I wanted to fight it. Man, I remember when my grandfather first came to me and he said, you're going to teach my Sunday school class. Absolutely not. I don't know anything about teaching Sunday school. And so he said, I'm going to Florida, and so there's nobody else to teach it. You better show up. Oh, crap. So I went, and boy, the poor people in my Sunday school class for the first 10 years must have been thinking, that man ain't got any calling on his life to be a teacher. I can tell you that right now. Okay? But I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it. And then my grandfather comes to me one Sunday near the end of his life, and he lays hands on me, and he says, grandson, come over here. I got to pray for you. Okay. When grandpa comes over, it's always okay. It's no, wait, I'll be back in 5 minutes. It was okay. I'll be right there right now. And I remember he grabbed a hold of me back there in the back corner of the church. And he began to pray for me. And he said, Father, this mantle you placed on me, I now place on my grandson. And I felt it. And I thought, Lord, I don't want this. I like my life the way it is. I'm doing good things for you already. I like the way my life is. I don't want this mantle. But what does that say? It says, I should walk worthy of the calling, the vocation wherein with you were called. And I fought it until I couldn't fight it anymore. And then when I surrendered to it, oh my. I said, boy, what a dummy. I should have done this a long time ago. Each and every one of you, as you sit there today, God has a calling on your life. And that calling on your life is not only for you, but it is for each and every member of this body of Christ. Not just this church, but for the body of Christ. And if you do not walk in your calling, then the body isn't getting everything that it needs. So what Paul is saying here, I beseech you, walk worthy. Don't be ashamed of it. Do it proud. Do it justice. So you know what everybody calls me now, even at work? Pastor Chip. And in the beginning, I don't know whether I was afraid or whatever, but now you know what? I am so proud to be called Pastor Chip. This is a calling that God put on my life, and it's for me, and it's for you, and it's for the rest of the body of Christ. And I am glad and proud to walk in it, and I'm trying to walk worthy of the vocation in which he's called me. I'm only telling you that so that I can encourage you, because I know that God has put a calling on each and every one of you. And we're going to go through those callings and those gifts in a minute. But if all of us would come alive, whoever was brave enough to finally step forward and give that gift of prophecy this morning, thank you. Whoever did the interpretation, thank you. You were called to do that this morning, and because you walked in that calling, we were all blessed by it. Thank you. This is not a spectator's game. It's not a game. I didn't want to use the word game, but this isn't for spectators. This is a participation event. Amen. You are called to participate, and God gave you gifts, and we need you to walk in those gifts. Okay, so go to the next one. And this is only restating what was just said, what I already just went through, that you would walk worthy of the vocation, the job, or the gift wherein you were called. And each and every one of us have a calling on our life. Let's go to the next scripture real quick. And then he tells us how we should walk in that with all lowness and meekness. You know, I'm still blown away that he picked me for this job. I don't know why he picked me for this job. I know there's 20 other people out there in the congregation who would be better for this job than I am. But because he picked me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be for the rest of my life trying to figure out why he picked me. I'm not going to walk around and say, Lord, you were really intelligent for picking me. Because he wasn't very intelligent for picking me. With lowliness and meekness, long suffering, and forbearing one another in love. You know what I love to do? I love to love on people. You know what my favorite is? In case you can't tell when you see me up here, kids. Man, they're just something when they come running up and hug you, man, and they love on you and you get the love back on them. Now, I like loving on you guys too, all right? But these kids, man, whenever they run up, you know what they always got on their face? Pastor Chip, and they got their arms wide open, man, and I open my arms wide open, man. We need to be walking in that love all the time. That's what he's telling us here, man. Walk in your calling. Not saying, hey, look at me, man, I got called to this job and you guys didn't, so I'm better than you. No, we all got a calling on our life. Amen. Not one calling is better than another. We're all equal. We all got a calling, and we all got to walk in that calling. And we got to be long-suffering with one another. Now, I know that none of you will ever believe this, but there's some of us that it does take long-suffering with around here. You know that? But that's why we got some of those people here, to make sure that we're working through that long-suffering part. Listen, I am backwards again this morning, and I apologize. My nose is running and my feet smell, and I got to do something here. I got to have something. Thank you, Skip. I don't want to go home with stains on my shirt. My wife will beat me, okay? Go to the next one. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's good for the brethren to dwell together in unity, in oneness. And what makes us one? The Spirit. And we live in the bond of those that are at peace have unity. Those that are at war, do they have peace? Do they have unity? No. So what is it that causes us? And peace is something that we can choose. I can choose to get angry or I cannot choose to get angry. When I was younger, I used to choose to get angry all the time. My nose has been broken. My teeth aren't real. Boy, I really showed them, didn't I? Man, that was really great. I walked in anger all the time, man, and it was just, oh, don't mess with me. I'll show you. And man, the older I got, the more stupid I felt that was. And the more I realized that, man, I just need to relax and be me. I don't need to worry about anybody else. I just worry about me and God and our relationship and my relationship with you. And it's my job to work with you to make sure our relationship is right. Even if you're not working to make the relationship right, it's still my job to make the relationship right. And guess what? You know what your job is? To work to make the relationships right. We should be walking, endeavoring. You know what endeavoring means? Go to the next one. That means earnest and industrious effort, especially when sustained over a period of time. You know, that's really the funny part. Well, you know, Skip and I, we had a disagreement once. And I tried. I went to him one time and I tried to make it right. I tried one time to make it right with Skip and he just wouldn't listen to me. So you know what? I'm writing Skip off. Am I earnestly trying? So if it doesn't work the first time, what am I supposed to do?
Try again.
If first you don't succeed, try again. And you keep trying, and you keep trying, and you keep walking in lowliness and meekness until you get to that point where you could have that peace and unity. That's our responsibility. You know, we pray, God, give us unity. He says, I already did. You just got to choose to walk in it. God, give us peace. I already did. You got to choose to walk in it. And as long as you choose to walk in anger and unforgiveness and all of the other things that come along as we go through life, we don't have unity and we don't have peace. And we gotta not stop trying. Do offenses come? The Bible tells us offenses are going to come. We're not gonna stop them. But when they come, what do we do with them? Do we get rid of them or do we hang on to them? Huh? Now, I love my wife, please, and I don't want to start any fights, and I probably shouldn't say this because she's at home not feeling well today. But I know when I go home, she'll say, hey, to me, remember when we went on our first date? And do you remember when you said this or that? I mean, she got a memory like an elephant, okay? She can remember anything. Me? I can't remember what I did 10 minutes ago. And the older I get, now I think it's down to 5 minutes, you know? And now I think it's a blessing not being able to remember any of those things and only living in today like Christ has taught us to do. Forgetting the past, not worrying about the future. Live in where? Today, right here. Okay, go to the next one for me, please. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called. There's that word we're getting. We're all called into one hope. What's my hope? It's the hope of your calling. Go to the next one here for me. There is only how many lords?
One Lord.
How many faiths?
One.
And one. There you go. You got it. So guess what? When we all receive Christ, we all worship the same Lord. We all have the same faith. And we all come in under the same
baptism.
So that's why God says, I already gave you unity. You choose to walk in it or not. I already gave you peace, because if you're walking in unity, you'll be walking in peace. And if you're walking lowly and meek, guess what? You'll be having all those things as you serve me together with one God, one faith, one baptism. If you remember the people at the Tower of Babel, he looked down and he said, those people are one. They're of one mind, one language, and whatever they set out to do, they'll accomplish. And when we get to the fact that we understand that we all serve the same one Lord, we all have the same one faith and the one baptism, boy, that brings us together. Go to the next one. One God and Father of all. Guess what? We're all related. Sorry, we're all related. You're related to me and I'm related to you. You know why? Because we got the same Father. We do. We don't have the same earthly Father, but we got the same spiritual Father. And it's the gift of life in you that came from him. It's the same gift of life in me. And he created us. And that makes us brothers and sisters because we have the same Father. Even though I don't have my hair in beads like that or dreads or whatever them things are called yet, I need them. And I like that red color, okay? You and I are related. We're the same family. We're together. Okay? Because we all have the same Father. And guess what? Our Father is above a little bit. Oh, my golly. Well, if our Father's above everything, then what do we got to worry about? Is he above our economy?
Yes.
Is he above our political situation?
Yes.
Is he above world turmoil?
Yes.
Is he above the cancer in my body?
Yes.
Okay. Then what do we got to worry about? And guess what? Here's the good news, Matt. My Father's the same one as yours. And since I don't have anything to worry about, guess what you don't have?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all to worry about. Right? And he is above all. But now listen, he goes further than that. And he says, I am through all. And in you. Man, not only is he above me, not only is he working through me, but guess what? He's in me. Woo-hoo-hoo, man, I'm excited. Huh? We're all related. We got the same God above us over everything. And he's working through us and he is in every one of us. Man, what can the old world and the old devil throw at us that we can't overcome? When we start worrying, then it starts to get a little scary. And we start forgetting who is over everything and who created all this stuff. Right? And as soon as we start forgetting all that stuff, what starts to happen? Oh my, Bill, wonder when the market's going to crash. Wonder if we're going to have a job tomorrow. Wonder how I'm going to get food next week. Wonder what's happening with this cancer in my body. And then pretty soon what starts to happen? Fear comes. And then when fear comes, my unity and my love and my joy starts to disappear. Man, we got to get a hold of some of these scriptures and we got to get these as foundations in our life.
Amen.
We are all the same. We have one Father who is above all. He's working through all. He's working through this cancer in my life. He's working through this economy. He's working through this world. And he is in all of us.
Amen.
Go to the next one for me, please. But, we're all the same, but unto every one of us is given grace. Now, I may not get any further than this today. When I finally got this, man, I bawled like a baby at my office, at my desk. But unto every one of us is given grace. And then what's the next word? According. According to what Chip did to deserve it. Okay, so let me see if I can put it to you this way. Okay? You get it according to the measure of the gift of Christ. All right. My car is out of gas. So I look in my wallet and I say, oh, praise God, I got a $2 bill here. So I pull into the pump. I go inside and I see the attendant. I'm not going to give this to Matt because I'll never get it back done, so you hold that for me. And I give the attendant inside a $2 bill. And I go out to the pump. When I start pumping the gas, how much gas should I expect to get? $2 worth. Okay, I'm not going to get $10 worth of gas for a $2 bill. Okay, so let me ask you a question. What is the measure of the gift of Christ? It's unmeasurable. So we got grace coming to us in an unmeasurable amount. And I had to give Glenn, I had to go out and earn the $2 or I had to go borrow it from my father. And he quit doing that a while ago. He finally caught on to me, okay? So I had to go out and get a job, but I had to earn the $2 so that I could buy the gas. I can't buy God's grace. I can't buy and you can't buy God's grace. It is only when we accept Christ into our life. Then through Christ, we get unmeasurable amounts of grace given to us once. All the time. And what did I do to deserve it? Nothing. God, give me that $2 back before I forget. Thank you. Put that back in my wallet. I don't even know where that thing came from. Gonna hang on to that. Got to find the right spot. Yeah. Listen, I was a knucklehead for a long time. I thought I had to do something to earn God's grace and his love. Anybody ever been there? I thought if I just went to church enough, I thought if I just sang enough, if I just prayed enough. And you see that word, two in front of Christ? If I could have earned it, then it would have not made it a gift. You see, there's nothing we can do to earn God's love. There's nothing we can do to earn God's grace except come to him and say, Lord, you are my Father. Forgive me for the way I've been living my life. I need you in my life. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, came from heaven in the form of a man, lived amongst us, walked and taught and suffered, and then surrendered his life for me. I want to receive that gift. The gift of Christ laying his life down for me. And what he says is, no man takes my life from me. He could have stopped it at any time. He didn't have to go forward with that. He could have called 10,000 angels and stopped time and said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to suffer all those things. But because he loves us, he spoke not a word. And he suffered. And he laid down his life. That's the gift that Christ gave to us. He said, I'm going to take your place. You see, we owed a debt that we could not pay. The wages of sin is death. He said, I see you got a debt you cannot pay. And I want to come pay it for you. Oh my. What is that gift worth? What is that gift worth to you? What is that gift worth to me? And he says, I give you my grace according to the value of the gift that Christ gave you. When do you think that pump's going to shut off? Never. And you know what grace is? Come on, everybody knows what grace is. The unmerited favor of God. That means he's standing there with the pump running and it's squirting all over me. And what it is not what I deserve, but what he wants to give me. It's not what I have earned, but what he wants to give me. And he's got the pump wide open and it's just flowing over you and I. And if you guys can't start to get excited about that, man, we need to have a big funeral tomorrow because all of you are dead. He loves us. And he is showering us every day with his grace and not giving us what we deserve, but he's giving us what he wants to give us because of the gift of Christ. Man, I want to go one more slide and then I'm going to quit. I didn't get as far. I didn't get it nearly. So then he says, therefore, you're standing here, man, and you're being showered with this grace. Therefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Now what this means, and we'll get to that in the next slide, he had to go someplace before he went up. You know where he went? He went into hell, and he took hell captive. For those of us who accepted the gift of Christ, captivity is no longer there because Christ took it captive. And where did he take it? He took it on up to heaven with him. Hallelujah. It's gone. Hell is gone for us. Hallelujah. 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 He led captivity captive. He says, I love you. I lay down my life for you. I give it to you. No man takes it from me. I'm going to do one other thing for you now. I'm going to go down and take that old devil and I'm going to lay him captive and I'm taking him to heaven with me. And then I'm going to do one more thing before I leave. And he gave gifts. Jobs and callings on demand. That's the last thing he did. He gave jobs and callings unto each every one of us. Now, if you want to know more about these jobs and callings, I'm afraid you're going to have to come back next week. Because it's already 12:05, okay? And I'm only a quarter of the way through this. Now listen, I got to ask you something. Are you getting anything from this? Yes. Hallelujah. So before we leave, I have a calling on my life. Say it. Come on. I have a calling on my life. We have the same Father. Come on, say it. We have the same Father. And we got grace being poured out abundantly on us every day. Come on. I got grace poured out on me abundantly according to the riches of the gift of Christ. Hallelujah. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. I can't do anything to get it. So you know what I got to do? And here's what I want you to see. It took me 63 years to get this. Pour it on, Lord, thank you. Pour it on, Lord, thank you. Pour it on, Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Don't miss any spot of me when you're shooting that grace out. I don't have to try to earn it. All I got to do is let you pour it out and then walk worthy of the calling that you put on my life. And then guess what? You do the rest. What? I just do what you tell me to do. And I sit here and I let you pour your love, your mercy, and your grace out on me every day. Oh, yeah. How's that feel? Oh, man, Lord. It feels good to be flooded in your love, your mercy, and your grace. And then I just walk in the calling that you give me. And then you do the rest. That's it. Pretty easy. But if you come back next week, I'm going to show you what these gifts and callings are and how they work. And why it's important that we all walk in them. So with that, I'm going to pray us out here. Heavenly Father, thank you. Man, the plans you have for us. As you say in your word, you can't even begin to comprehend in your feeble mind the plans that I have for you. But Father, we try to outthink you. Maybe not the rest of the people, Father, but I always have. I've always tried to get one step ahead of you. I've always tried to figure out what the purpose is in this or what am I supposed to do? What's my purpose here on earth? He says, your purpose here on earth is to accept the gift of Jesus Christ. Then let me shower you with my love, my mercy and your grace, Father. You want to just flood us with that. You want us to walk in love and unity and peace and meekness and lowliness towards one another. And you want us to walk in the calling that you've given us. And when we do that, oh my, what it says in your word next is that all the saints get perfected and we all get strengthened and we all come in to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, forgive me for when I didn't walk in the calling that you put on my life. Forgive me, Father, for I didn't help others and myself to walk fully in the fullness of Christ. But Father, thank you as you reveal this word to us that we come alive in the gifts and that we all begin to walk worthy of the calling so that we can all get built up, so that we can all become worthy of the calling that you put on our lives so that we can be there to help one another. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Now watch over us this week, Father, as we go our separate ways. Father, help this word to sink into us. And Father, as we go out there this week and we feel the Spirit speaking to us and we feel like we're supposed to give a word to somebody, Father, help us to walk worthy of this calling. If we feel we're supposed to pray for somebody, if we feel like we're supposed to open the scriptures to somebody and teach them, Father, Father, help us to walk worthy. Help us not to be ashamed of this calling that you've placed on our life. Thank you, Father. You've thought it all through. And your plan is above our plan. It's a perfect plan for the perfecting of the saints. So, Father, thank you for this word this morning. Now watch over us as we go our separate ways. And Father, thank you. It was good to be in the house of the Lord today. Bring us back again next week so that we can hear the rest of this message about what you would have us to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you.